The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Everybody, Bill Buckmaster along with Ray Allen. Ray likes the name the Tucson Javelinas for the new indoor football team. Of course, I'd like to see Tuffy the Toro back somehow connected. But I also like a name that keeps coming up for me. It would be the Monsoon. So, I don't know. We'll know soon about our indoor football franchise. How's your day going? It's September the 12th. It's our midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show. There is lots to cover. As usual, we have a very full hour for you. We're on AM 1030 KVOI. That is, our home station, our starship station, AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. And then, of course, we're on our buckmastershow.com for our worldwide live listening, and of course kvoi.com. Let's go now on the live line to Pima County Supervisor Sharon Bronson, one of five supervisors representing Pima County. Supervisor Bronson, a Democrat from the 3rd Supervisorial District. Supervisor Bronson, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Bill, and we're not having any rain here, are we?
No, we aren't. The monsoon has gone away, but I think maybe that would be a good nickname maybe for this indoor football team because, you know, when you think of the monsoon, it's wind, it's rain, it's being real tough, so maybe that would be a good name. Supervisors voted 3-1 last week to reject the $1.4 million border grant known as the Stone Garden grant. Pima County Sheriff Mark Napier, was on Fox TV this morning on the Fox Network, warning that that rejection, Supervisor Bronson, by you and your colleagues, Supervisors Elias and Valadez, makes Arizona less safe. Would you disagree with Sheriff Napier?
Yes, I actually would respectfully disagree. Let's put it in perspective with some facts. The sheriff's responsibility along the Pima-Mexico border is extremely limited. There's 123 miles of border. 96% of those miles are through national parks, forests, wildlife refuge, as well as the Tonawatam Nation. The sheriff is only responsible for 4% of the shared border. And in addition to which, the sheriff's area of responsibility throughout Pima County is also limited. The county may be almost 9,200 square miles, but only 24% of that total area of Pima County is outside of incorporated cities and towns. And so he's only responsible for 24% of that 9,200 miles. In addition to which, if you look at how he deploys sheriff's deputies for Stone Garden, they are for traffic stops and citations along state highways for the most part, which means that these individuals, our deputies, are not in their communities keeping our communities safe. They're doing the federal, the Border Patrol's job for them. So I would argue it's just the opposite, that Stone Garden makes us less safe. In addition to which, I think there was a recent study that indicated 40% of our Latinos reported that they are less likely to contact the police if they are victims of crime because state and local law enforcement are increasingly involved in enforcing immigration laws. I think that Stone Garden, I disagree with the sheriff. I think Stone Garden does nothing to make this community feel safer.
He also asked what has changed, why the supervisors would not accept the grant this time around after accepting it for the past dozen years.
Well, and I think I've heard Sheriff Napier say several times this is all political. I would agree with him. I would absolutely agree with him. This is political, and it started with the zero-tolerance policies at the federal level, and that has totally poisoned, in my view, any federal grants in terms of how they're deployed. I think that what Washington changed, community and the value of coordinating with our federal partners.
The sheriff was also very upset during the interview about less overtime, $1 million less overtime for deputies to patrol, as he says, the rural areas, $300,000 less for equipment. What do you say to that?
I think I already answered that question. The overtime is used to place deputies by Border Patrol stops. And so that means they are not in the community. And if we took that $1.1 million that he's paying overtime, you know what we could do with that to keep our community safer? Is we could hire 11 deputies, and pay their benefits and put them in our communities, working with our people in those communities to keep the community safe, not working on federal highways, doing the Border Patrol's work for them.
All right, let's see what Matthew has to say. Matthew called us on the live line at 790-2040. Matthew, do you want to stay on topic here?
Yeah, thank you, Bill. Supervisor Bronson, you know, it's very irregular for me to disagree with the Democrats on the board, because I do understand the political situation that you were in. But it's a political situation of your own making here. You guys are the ones who are politicizing $1 million, and to try and cast that it's money that he doesn't need. Well, what other federal grants do we not need? Supervisor, I haven't finished.
I said I'm sorry.
Yeah, so okay. Allow me to finish. I apologize, but my concern is unless you guys, really understand the budget and were willing to provide him that $1 million from another source of funding, it was irresponsible to walk away from $1 million unless there was a specific reason. Like he said, he's not going to change his policy regarding having a Border Patrol or ICE working with him. I think it's a mistake.
Okay. Let's let Sharon Bronson respond. Go ahead.
I don't think it's a mistake for every dollar. And I like your question. You know, we are focusing on grants now and whether the grants are valuable. And in reality, for every dollar we spend or we get from the feds in Stone Garden, it costs this community, these taxpayers, another $2 to $3 because of dealing with the rest of the criminal justice and law enforcement system. And again, it does nothing to keep this community safer. I absolutely agree with you. If we need more officers, if we need more deputies on the street or in our communities, we should be willing to pay for them. But the federal grants are not free money. Understand that. They come with a price tag.
All right, 790-2040. And Ignacio, is he on topic? He is, Ray. So we will take that one. Ignacio, go ahead. You're with Sharon Bronson. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, this is just nonsense of sitting there saying that the money is not going to be used properly. I mean, a patrolman is on duty, a patrolman is on duty. The more eyes we have on the streets, the better for the citizens and forever. If they're protecting a law, they're protecting a law.
Okay.
Illegal arrest, they're making illegal arrest.
Thank you, Ignacio. Go ahead, Supervisor Bronson.
Again, if they're doing, there are 4,200 Border Patrol officers in the Tucson sector. Let the Border Patrol do their jobs. Let's keep our officers in our communities, keeping our communities safe. And if you look at the number of traffic stops, we're just doing traffic stops. Again, we should be doing some community policing. I think that's a better use of funds, and I think that's where we should direct it. Peace officers should be working with our communities. Border Patrol should be doing their job. And I think, again, with 4,200 agents, they certainly have the staffing, the manpower to do their job and let our officers do their jobs with our community, keeping us safe.
On another topic, Justice of the Peace Keith B. has resigned, retired from the bench after being indicted in a tax case. Now, he's not seeking re-election. There's going to be a new JP in that district. So what happens now? Do the supervisors appoint someone for, basically a couple of months?
The typical selection process we used in the past is we ask applicants to apply. We give them a couple of 3 weeks to do that, and then we usually hold some kind of forum, and then we appoint. But it looks like at this point, in terms of the statute, we have the time frame in which we have to appoint is not specified, and I would think since we're just starting this process that by the time we even got around to trying to appoint someone, the election would have been over. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's one thing we're looking at. I think the other is the presiding judge of Superior Court can, in the interim, it appears, appoint an interim JP. Oh. He has that authority. So that's another, given the time frame here and its nearness to the election, I think those are the two more viable options, but we'll see what the rest of my colleagues want to do.
All right. There's a big economic announcement we're going to tell people about after we take the break, and I tell our listeners, and I gladly do so. I love to talk about Mona's, my favorite bakery. Mona's Danish Bakery is home of the Danish Kringle. They are located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Steve, the owner, does such a great job with all the breads that they bake so early in the morning, and they're ready for you right now at lunch. Go to my website, buckmastershow.com. There you will find a link to Mona's Danish Bakery and a link to all of the great partners that we have on the Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back with Sharon Bronson.
Hey, this is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. It's that time. U of A tailgating. I mean, this place is sizzling. I gotta have one of those burgers and one of those dogs and, hey, aren't you?
Hey, it's Mark Irvin hanging out here with my pal Ollie Farhang.
Woo! Who's under this Arizona Party Rental tent? Ryan.
Ryan Jeffries. And no steak for you.
Oh, yeah, splattered mustard all over your back. Wait a minute. You are?
Ryan Hansen.
Hey, you can join the party, too. Arizona Party Rental, your celebration destination. Online at arizonapartyrental.net.
In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Thursday during the Noon Hour, a newsmaker interview with Tucson City Councilman Paul Durham. Also, our travel talk segment with Ryan Hansen of Bon Voyage Travel. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030. KVOI, Tucson's voice, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Exactly 12:20 on the Buckmaster Show, midweek edition. This portion presented by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Only about a three-hour drive from Tucson. Visit Southwest New Mexico for the complete listing. That website is southwestnewmexico.org. For a complete listing of the great places to stay in the Silver area and so many opportunities, hiking, camping, especially now with that greened up Gila National Forest looking real good after the summer rains. Again, southwestnewmexico.org for Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. We're talking about Pima County, Arizona right now with Pima County Supervisor Sharon Bronson. Sharon, I know you love New Mexico. You've been over there to Silver many times.
I have, and Albuquerque as well, mm-hmm. and Santa Fe. Those are some of my favorite places to visit.
Yeah, they're great places. All right, a Chinese company known as Too Simple, T-U, capital T, small U, and then Simple, capital S, is expanding, and they have this self-driving truck development here in Tucson. And in about 10 minutes, the governor is set to hold a press conference announcing about what's going to be happening on the southeast side with this facility. Our friend Dylan Smith at TucsonSentinel.com broke this story last night. These are, I guess, be really good high-paying tech jobs.
Well, and actually the governor, I think the press conference started at noon today, so I think that they are in the
noon.
Process
okay.
of making the announcement. But yeah, you're right. Too Simple is a global self-driving truck solutions company. It's planning to expand, it's my understanding, its operations in Tucson by adding an additional 200 trucks to its autonomous fleet in 2019, and that will bring it up to 500 trucks worldwide. And they're obviously going to be the world's largest autonomous truck fleet. But Too Simple will be adding 500 new jobs in Tucson, and you're right, they are primarily engineering and truck driver positions, along with other technical and administrative jobs. And we're estimating that this expansion is going to bring an economic impact of $1.1 billion to this community over the next 5 years. And, you know, last August, they expanded their operations into Tucson, and now they're growing it once again.
And they're going to be doing these test runs in Arizona, including a run between Southern Arizona and San Diego. Apparently, this is the future. As far as these kind of self-driving trucks, we've done some interviews with folks who say, even before the kind of self-driving cars, we'll probably be seeing the self-driving trucks on the highway first. So this is putting Tucson really at the cutting edge of this new technology.
And I think it speaks to one of our economic strengths. If you look at where, where we have an edge, we're looking clearly at aerospace and defense, and then we're looking at biotech, but also transportation logistics. And this fits right in with the transportation logistics strength that I think this region has.
Yeah, and I was wrong about that. San Diego to Southern Arizona, that run, they actually already did that test. According to Dylan at TucsonSentinel.com, that test was done last June. But anyway, this is good news, and apparently they have their location is at Grant Road and Interstate 10. So go ahead.
That's their old location.
Oh,
the old location. The new one is on Old Vale Road, I think.
Okay. That's good news indeed. Yeah, here it is. 3.6 acres on East Vale Road, China's Too Simple, expanding their self-driving truck development in Tucson. Hey, what's going on at Pima Animal Care? This is great, great news that this is PetSmart's National Adoption Week this week, right?
This weekend, yes. It's for PetSmart's charities, and it's September 14th through 16th. And Pima County, Pima Animal Care Center is asking you to head to one of the three PetSmart's locations to find your family's new best friend. And the event starts at 10 a.m. and ends at 3 p.m. There's the PetSmart at Oracle and Wetmore, the PetSmart at Elkhorn Mall, and then the PetSmart at Irvington and I-19. And PAC currently has about 400 dogs and puppies and 250 cats and kittens waiting to find their forever homes. So join us in thanking PetSmart for PetSmart's National Adoption Weekend, and we hope to see you September 14th. 15th or 16th at one of the PetSmart's locations.
There's a big push going on right now at Pima Animal Care Center, as you know, Sharon, to get some of these animals who have been in the shelter a long time to move them up the queue and make them a top priority and get them out of the shelter into a forever home, because some of these animals are really, they've been there for months.
Yes, and what I failed to say and probably is most important, PAC is waiving adoption fees for all dogs and cats who are 4 months up and older at these participating PetSmart's locations. So come in again September 14th, 15th, or 16th and find your forever friend.
You know that Amato flooding has really been a big deal, hasn't it? It's kind of been under the radar screen, but they got hit with one of those microbursts or whatever. Some people say it was like 4 to 6 inches of rain that hit down there.
Yeah, that's depending on what rain gauge. It looks like it was a major storm event, and it affected not only portions of Pima County. Amato is part of it is in Santa Cruz and part in Pima, and we're still working with our part the folks in Amato and with Santa Cruz County and our folks here in Pima County to try to dig out from under this. I mean, there were some businesses that were very much inundated, and we're very fortunate to have all our emergency responders, first responders helping us out in this and getting cooperation not only from Santa Cruz County and from our folks here in Pima County, but from other government agencies. And we're still working on the cleanup process, and we're a little concerned because of the hurricane coming in that some of our emergency responders may not be available for responding. They may be headed to the southeast. So, but we want to thank all of our folks who stepped up, and we're still going to be working with the businesses and the residents to see what we, Pima County, can do to get them back to where they were before the storm.
What's your sense about Proposition 463 on the November ballot? That's the bond question relating to our roads.
If you're asking, I am hoping it will pass. One of the things that spurs economic development is good infrastructure, and we certainly we need to repair our roads. And if we're going to have to find the money somewhere, I think that this is a very responsible way to do it. If there's short-term bonds, we'll pay them off in just a few years, and we can get those roads fixed and that will not only improve our infrastructure, and I don't know about you, I don't know how many flats you've had recently. I've had
a couple.
Several.
Yeah.
And we've got to deal with that, and I think this is an opportunity to do so. And I am hopeful we've got full transparency with this process, that the voters will step up and say, yes, we want to do this. If we get our roads fixed, we can grow the economy, because we'll be providing jobs. Most of the work for repairing our roads is going to be outsourced to private entities. So I think this is an economic opportunity in two senses of the word. One, it's going to provide for some local construction activity, and then number two, it's going to improve the looks of our roads, which will enable us to attract businesses in the future.
All right, Sharon Bronson, thank you very much for spending some time with us. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Sharon Bronson, Pima County Supervisor, Democrat from District Number 3. We're just a few seconds away now from the midway point of the Buckmaster Show and our midweek edition. Coming up next, our Arizona Water Quarterly presented by the Central Arizona Project. Buckmaster on a Wednesday resumes. Well, we're still going to be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. And once a quarter here on the program, we focus on what I consider to be our most important resource in this state, and that's water, because without it, well, we'd be in big trouble. How's that? Arizona Water Quarterly, presented by the Central Arizona Project, Your Water, Your Future. Joining us now on the program, Karen Caesar. Karen is a member of the Central Arizona Water Conservation District Board. Karen, always a pleasure to see you.
And always a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's always good to get caught up on what's going on, and we've been talking in our previous sessions about the progress of this Consumer Service Task Force. What's the latest?
Well, Bill, CAP has been working for the last several months, and this task force, the Customer Service Task Force, had our last meeting in August 16th. And I just want to kind of point out, we do task forces for shorter duration issues, so they don't go on forever and ever, but we tackle an issue and get it wrapped up. At our last meeting, the task force voted on a set of recommendations that were based on the months of stakeholder feedback that we collected through the process. And then these recommendations were passed and adopted by the full board on September 6th.
And what are some of those recommendations?
Well, and they really center around stakeholder relations and making sure that we do a better job communicating with our stakeholders. So one thing we did is we're going to create a way for stakeholders to provide comments and ask questions online prior to our board meetings or even in real time during our public board meetings. But up till now, unless you were sitting in the audience, you had no way of providing questions in real time. We're going to look at doing that now.
Well, that's a very good thing.
I think it's going to be great.
You're going to get some immediate impact that way from folks that aren't sitting in the boardroom.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. We also looked at creating more effectiveness and efficiency of our committees and task forces, in part to allow the board to have more confidence in and rely on the work done in those committees. And that is to help shorten our board meetings. Some of the feedback we got was the board meetings are very long. So if we can work on that, that should help. We want to conduct more discussions with stakeholders before our board meetings and include their perspectives in our board briefs. And this is really directed at having our staff help bring information to the board that will help us get a better picture of issues. We've got a couple more here. And they're kind of all along the same line. To increase engagement, we want to give more advance notice of issues so people can really see what's coming up faster, and also invite our stakeholders to participate in roundtable discussions on specific issues, including potentially convening stakeholder advisory groups around a certain topic. So we really want to hear more regularly and earlier from our stakeholders, and have our stakeholders also have an opportunity to provide their comments to us, to the board, not necessarily at the last minute.
Well, you also, I assume, want to get kind of these short-term action plans directly answered.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we are working with our staff, and we're going to put together short-term action plans. This is not a effort that's going to sit on the shelf. We're going to put this into action, and it really, with quarterly reporting and information back, so we can track how these new suggestions are being incorporated. It will take some time, but we're definitely working on it.
I'm curious about this Bureau of Reclamation study that I heard about. It was, I think they released it toward the end of last month. What were some of the highlights of that?
Well, and I have also for all the opportunities I've had to be here and talk about water with you. We do always talk this time of year about the Bureau's August 24-month study. That's where they look ahead 2 years at the levels of the lakes, both Lake Mead and Lake Powell, and make the declaration of a shortage or not for the following year. So the Bureau's 24-month study showed once again that for next year there will be no shortage on the Colorado River, which means no mandatory reductions for CAP's Colorado River allocation.
So that's very good news. So they put this study out every couple of years then?
Well, they actually update the study every month.
Every month, but
August is the big look, and a lot of decisions are based upon the August 24-month study. So
no mandatory reductions in CAP's Colorado River water allocation. That's good news.
Well, that is, like I said, it's good news for 2019. However, there's more. The study also said that there's better than a 50% chance that there will be a shortage in 2020, so the following year, especially if we have the below normal snowpack and inflow into the system this winter. So we're one more year without shortage, but high probability of having a shortage in the following year.
So what it boils down to, this upcoming winter is going to be really critical.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to be watching the snow in the Rockies, as early as possible. We were just talking about, fall comes early up north.
Yeah, I got my taste of fall in late August up in Alaska, and then I came back to summer again.
Right, and it's hard when it's 102 degrees here, but we're already thinking about snow, and that's really what we're going to be tracking. And that will give a good indication on what the what the August 24-month study will say a year from now.
So then a year from now, we'll have a much better handle on this.
Yes, absolutely. And a shortage declaration would be made in August for the following year. But again, we are not waiting and sitting on our hands and wondering what will happen if that happens. We're actively working on solutions right now.
Let's get into that a little bit. So what are you doing to help avoid a shortage?
Well, we have been, of course, CAP has been and continues to work to reduce these risks. And since 2014 now, we've been collaboratively implementing conservation programs to reduce the risk of shortage. And with the help of Nevada and California, we've kept the Colorado River system out of shortage for 2015, 16, 17, 18, and now 19, but those efforts are not going to be enough in the long term. And so in recent months, the Arizona Department of Water Resources and CAP have been collaboratively leading the Arizona discussion on what we call the Lower Basin Drought Contingency Plan.
What is that? What's the progress on that?
Well, we're making good progress. The purpose of this, the DCP, is to protect Lake Mead from getting to the lowest, most critical levels of elevation. The DCP is not going to protect us or keep us out of shortage. All the models suggest that that's not going to happen. But we are looking longer term and trying to protect the system from reaching critically low levels, because that really starts to impact not only water, but power generation. So we've kicked off with some briefings in June and technical workshops in July. But most exciting is right now there's a steering committee that's got about 40 Arizona water professionals and water leaders from across the state that are working on this.
You're on the committee, I heard.
And I am. I'm one of several people from Southern Arizona who are on this committee. And I will say, in a shout out to our Southern Arizona audience, we are well represented on this committee from business to agriculture to cities to tribes. So Southern Arizona has a big role in this committee. And you can see the entire list. You can go to the CAP website or ADWR's website and see the whole list of the committee, and also when we meet, what our agendas are.
How often do you meet?
Well, we're meeting. We have a tall order to get this done, ideally by the end of the year. So we're meeting. This group is meeting about every 2 weeks. The meetings are public. They're in Phoenix, all of them. But you can get the information, like I said, on the websites. We also, with the goal of addressing a large range of issues, you can imagine we're tackling a lot of things in a short amount of time. But it's really important, and our goal is to really put together a consensus drought contingency plan that that respects all the different stakeholders' concerns, and that's a tall order. But the group is really making progress.
Is any of this online?
So the meetings are open to the public, but they are not. Unlike our board meetings, they are not broadcast live. However, they are being videotaped, and the entire unedited meeting is available online to watch afterwards, as well as all the agenda and presentation materials. And again, that's both on the CAP's website and Arizona Department of Water Resources website.
Big anniversary, huh? 50th anniversary.
Yeah, that's
wow.
This is actually quite quite exciting. And just want to, you know, let everybody know that a very important thing for Arizona happened 50 years ago this month. And that was when President Lyndon B. Johnson signed the Colorado River Basin Project Act. It was actually on September 30th, 1968. And that authorized construction of what we now know as the CAP. And we all know how important that act was for Arizona. And as the CAP being Arizona's largest single source of renewable water to the state, delivering Colorado River water to more than 80% of our state's population, that's a big darn deal. And we've been celebrating it all year. It culminated last Friday in a really nice event at CAP headquarters.
Can you imagine what our state would look like without CAP water?
It would not we would not be doing what we're doing today. And it's an awesome responsibility for everybody working now in water to really look forward to the next 50 years and hope the folks 50 years from now look back on our efforts and celebrate what we've been doing too.
Karen Caesar, thank you for what you are doing and as a member of the Central Arizona Water Conservation District Board. And we appreciate these quarterly updates. Thank you, Karen.
Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show.
Neighborhood stalwarts. Virginia and Frank Butley are overjoyed when Tanya and Pablo Del Valle move into the fixer-upper next door. But opposing views about culture, politics, and landscaping push these well-meaning couples into a border battle. Don't miss Native Gardens, a laugh-out-loud, big-hearted comedy with a lot of sharp little teeth. September 8th through the 29th at the Temple of Music and Art. Tickets available at arizonatheater.org.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for six new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on celebrity cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. And when you go buy Green Things, remember they are now the home to Zocalo. Zocalo for years over by Country Club and Broadway. Guess what? They're now over at Green Things on their 13-acre site. So you can get all your great merchandise from Mexico, Latin America. There's some European items. So not only do you do all of your nursery shopping for your plants and all your gardening supplies, but there's some beautiful items at Zocalo as well over at Green Things. Let's welcome now Todd Clodfelter, Republican running for re-election to a second two-year term to the Arizona House of Representatives in District 10. Representative Clodfelter is involved in a three-way race. He is the Republican, and there are two Democrats. And, of course, the top two vote-getters are sent up to Phoenix for the legislative session, which will begin in early January, not that far away, really. Todd Clodfelter is the owner of Ace Graphics and 3D Tees. He's been in town a long time. Todd, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. How are you doing today? Happy Wednesday.
Well, happy Wednesday to you. I wanted to say you've been in town 45 years. Is that about right?
Well, it's probably closer to 48 at this point. You know, all the bios and stuff change faster than we can get them changed. Time moves on.
Yeah, it sure does. Why should folks reelect you to the Arizona legislature?
Well, Bill, I'm hoping that they'll agree with me that I am a voice for Tucson and parts of southern Arizona in Phoenix. Currently, with the representation we have being predominantly Democratic from the southern portion of the state, we have not much of a voice with majority leadership in Maricopa. So if we don't have a few Republicans in the mix from southern Arizona, basically the people's representation goes unheard. So we really need to try and keep a balance of interest going up to Phoenix. And in bipartisan fairness, I say I have had bipartisan town halls with my seatmates, and they've gone very well. I get skinned once in a while because I am a Republican and have a little bit more conservative tendency. But at least those folks who I meet there come to me, and they always say they're very respectful that I've taken the initiative to be there and to participate. And I'm there regularly, regardless of what the turnout is and the sentiment of the crowd. So I think there's opportunity here to work together to do great things for Tucson and southern Arizona. And that gets into the economic expansions that we'd like to see happen down here. Better jobs, better pay, economic prosperity for everyone.
Remind us of the makeup of District 10. Where roughly what are the boundaries of District 10 and the political makeup, Todd?
Okay, well, basically the western boundary is Campbell Avenue down by the university. And then it goes, you take a funnel and you lay it on its side with the skinny end towards the U of A. It kind of gets bigger as it goes east, goes up the Speedway, and then out to Craycroft, up to Grant, follows Grant around, and then down to Tankerville, up Sabino Canyon a little bit. Then it goes out Tankerville again, up through Bear Canyon, the kind of that easterly foothill area, going up to Mount Lemmon, and then wraps around south, picking up parts of the Saguaro Monument east and down to Valencia. It does not include Rita Ranch or Vail. It's just north of that, and then it works its way back up around to the north side of Davis-Month and up to 22nd Street and then back down to Campbell. So basically it's East Tucson. The makeup, Bill, is probably about a 5.5% to 6% Democratic advantage. But if you get down to the numbers, there's a good portion of people that are independent as well. So it's about a 36 Democrat, 31 Republican, and everybody else is independent. So it's a good mix in here, and it's a very interesting prospect for campaigning, that's for sure.
You know, everybody's talking about education. Is that one of your big issues as well?
Absolutely, Bill. Education is always a huge issue. First of all, we've got to realize that without well-educated and trained potential employees, that's our students, we aren't going to get the economic growth here that we need. We got companies that want to come in here, but they want a strong and educated workforce. So that's a challenge here too with Tucson, with funding, of course. That's always the big one, is finding the funding to support education and then getting things back up to what they were years ago prior to the recession, the additional funding. But the real challenge is finding sustainable funding. We tend to find ways to kick the can down the road and put a Band-Aid on it. My goal is to look at longer-term plans. Let's look at something that's going to fix our needs, or at least really address the needs with those advancing growth options for a 5-year, 10-year, 20-year, 30-year potential, rather than fix it now and we'll worry about it again in 2 years. It seems like that's what we do every election cycle. We really need to work together to get a solid plan for sustainable income.
We're not going to have the measure on the ballot pertaining to education. I'm just curious. Do you think it will continue to be a huge issue? And it was the marquee issue, without a doubt, in the last session. What do you think about the next session?
I don't think that's ever going to go away. It's always going to be of concern. It's the two mindsets of the money versus the mismanagement of money, or the actual value of the money. Can they compare the investment with the growth and advancement of the students' abilities? There's always that argument, but I know that there's always the need for finances. We've got facilities that are crumbling. They need infrastructure repair. We've got teachers who deserve more pay. We've got programs that we'd like to include in our scenarios with the student education that we need finances for. I mean, things as simple as faster internet services, upgrades in computers, and they're not that expensive, and even some of the more basic things like buses that don't have 500,000 miles on them, that are reliable and capable of carrying our students safely back and forth from the school to home.
You know, you had tried to run in this district before and were unsuccessful, but of course were successful 2 years ago. What made the difference, Todd Clodfelter, do you think? And you talked a little bit about the makeup politically of this district. Do you consider it kind of a moderate district, Todd?
Yeah, Bill, I do. There's always the fringes. There's always the people mm-hmm. on the far extreme left side and the far right side. I think the truth is, I think a lot of people are really beginning to see that we've got to work together. We've got to have a voice in Maricopa. You know, you always hear that Arizona is one of the leading states for growth and economy and job and opportunity and all that stuff. It's like, well, you see that up there. They're pouring concrete faster than they can mix it. Down here, we're saying, well, what do we got to do to make things better? So I think what's happening is people are saying, what can we do differently to advance Tucson? And I think, you know, the Republican concepts and mindsets tend to be more business friendly in that regard. And so I think people are ready to say, we got to do something to advance industry down here instead of being a community of mom and pop shops and chain stores. We've got to get some solid industry down here. And I think things are starting to pick up. You see things downtown, the Rio Nuevo project. I supported that, and I've taken tours down there with people who were concerned with what's going on down there, and they've changed their mind 100%. They see the opportunity, they see the growth, they see the revenue. I think in the next 10, 20 years, Bill, you're going to see Tucson really booming in that area, and I think that'll trickle across. I think it'll start picking up. But we've got to be focused on that. We've got to have a plan. We've got to stick to it. So I hosted 27 legislators last October to come down to Tucson and see what we had to offer down here. And a lot of those folks who had never even been to Tucson
really?
Were really surprised at the potential.
They had never been to Tucson.
That's correct. You know, you've got people who kind of have their little bubble of security, and that's where they stay. They may travel on vacation, run over to Disneyland or other places, but they hadn't come to Tucson. And so we had some good people here, TEP, Banner, U of A, and some others helped sponsor that activity. They came down for a day and a half. The Speaker of the House was down with them, and we toured U of A, Raytheon. We had a presentation by Davis Monthan, Fort Huachuca, the Air Guard. And they toured Rio Nuevo themselves and saw what's going on, and they were really pleased to see the opportunities being presented down here. So what I want to do is continue working that with those members and promote the fact that we want all of Arizona to succeed, not just one pocket of it. Everybody needs to succeed. We need to expand our tax base, because if we expand our tax base, we'll have the funding sources for education and for other programs for the benefit of the people without having to raise taxes on the taxpayer. Keep it simple.
You want to have folks go to your website, check out what you've got to say over there, including you had quite a long list of Todd cares there on the website.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Todd does care. I've lived here for 47 years, Bill. Went to Saguaro High School. I'm a U of A alumni and a graduate. My kids went to school here, all went to TUSD. Tucson is my home, and I do care about Tucson. I care about the community, Southern Arizona, and I love Arizona in general. We are the best state in the union, so I'm very pleased to live here, and I want to do what I can to help it. The website is www.tc4az.com, tc4az.com.
Thank you, Todd. Have a great day.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate your time.
All right, Todd Clodfelter, running in District 10 as a Republican. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. Thank you, Ray Allen. Always doing a great job on the other side of the glass. On behalf of Ray, I am Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon.